You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, a show which features conversations with Christians in leadership about the topics that really matter. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing Christian leaders on over 1,000 shows, and so hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and will join us again next week.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
It's my joy to welcome you to the show that seeks to encourage and support Christians who lead. What leads an actor to leave the shores of America to launch a ministry to those living on the streets of London? Well, regular listeners to the show will know the answer, because today's guest was my very first guest on The Leadership Show just over 20 years ago. And we replayed the first half of my interview with him at the start of this year. His name is Kurt Erickson, and he's a church planter, a pastor teacher, international speaker, and the founder and director of Elios Ministries, a Christian outreach based in East London in the UK. He remains vibrant in his faith and ministry 20 years later, so I'm fascinated to see how God has led him and the leadership lessons he's picked up along the way. So lovely to welcome you back, Kurt.
It's good to be here, Andy.
I was in touch because I discovered, as I say, that it was 20 years ago. You were the very first guest. I wasn't exactly sure. And someone managed to dig you out of the archives. So lovely to chat with you and to see you're still as looking as youthful and as fresh as ever. Perhaps you could summarise your journey to the UK for those who didn't hear the recording earlier this year.
Okay, well, just briefly, I mean, my journey from New York to London, I was an actor, as you mentioned before. I was in show business for over 10 years. And in 1986, I went to a Christian conference. I was saved in 83. So I was saved for 3 years as an actor. And I went to this Christian concert and ministry, and the word was so strong, the word just to drop your nets. And of course, it's a generic message, basically just God wants all of you. But that particular night, God spoke to me powerfully. He said, drop your nets. And I knew what he was talking about. He said, you know, Kurt, give me everything. And I said to him, I said, you know, Lord, you know, acting isn't something I do. It's something I am. This is my very being, my identity. And he said, that's right, Kurt, die to it. Drop it. Give me everything. And I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I promise I'll never go on another audition. I won't seek this, and I'll just seek you. And about 2 months later, in my flat in New York in Hell's Kitchen, I just cried out. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he showed me. He said, look out your window, Kurt. And as I did, I saw homeless guys lined up on the gutter. And again, it's 4 blocks from Times Square. And it's right in Hell's Kitchen. There's a lot of homeless in New York at that time in the mid-80s. And I began to feed the poor. And to make a long story short, God did not give me a geographical restriction or time restriction. He just said, feed the poor. And that's what I've been doing for the last 40 years from that time. And again, after that, I began to go to Bible school. I knew that God was calling me to, he did call me to a full-time service. As a lifestyle, as a minister, as a lifestyle, not just a vocation, but as a lifestyle. And I went to Bible school. I met my wife in Bible school. We had the exact same vision. We had a vision for international ministries. I knew the Lord was sending me internationally. I just sensed that. I went to Bible school. I went to Moody Bible Institute. I got a degree in international ministries and cross-cultural evangelism. I met my wife at another Bible school, but we met and we married in 1990. 9 months later, we're on the mission field in 1991 in London. And consequently, less than 9 months after that, we had our first child. So things moved quite quickly once we began to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want us to do, we'll do. And so we left the shores of the States without any keys in our pocket. We gave up our flat, gave up all the stuff that we had there. We arrived knowing one person in Southend. I believe I mentioned that in the last interview, Andy. And I knew I had acquaintances, but I knew one ministry I was going to. And we had about £200 in our pocket, and my wife was pregnant. And that's why I entered the mission field. And God's been faithful. And a little time after that, we moved to London in 1992. And I've been here ever since. And we just and continually to ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God shows us.
Well, and there have been some transition points, haven't there, along the way. Could you perhaps highlight a few that the ways in which the ministry developed?
Well, I mean, just coming here, and one scripture verse that has always has been the calling card of this ministry. And the first night I arrived in London, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I read in Psalm 37, and verse 3, from the New American Standard, it quotes it this way: to dwell among the people and cultivate faithfulness. And that was a call. So it wasn't like to plant a church or to start this ministry or to do this or do whatever, just to dwell among the people and cultivate faithfulness. And that's, I think, a calling card to every missionary going on a foreign field: dwell among the people, cultivate faithfulness. And as I did, I just met other ministers. I've met other, involved in many, many ministries. And I just want to say, Andy, I mean, it's one of these things that I think in ministry, you always find new doors opening and transitions. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't say in my growth as a human being, well, I went to adolescence and I did this. Well, that's a calling card of every human being. And yeah, things change and people come and people go. The greatest transition since we talked last, in the last 20 years, because I was in ministry 15 years in London before our last interview. But since the last interview in 2026, the massive transition, of course, was the death of my wife, which happened 2 years ago. I mean, 2 years after we had talked in 2008. And that was, again, to say very lightly, of course, I mean, that was a huge paradigm shift, as you can imagine, but it was much more than that. It wasn't earth shaking because God was with us. God is our foundation. But it changed a lot. My wife was not only my wife, the mother of my children, my lover, my best friend, but she was also co-partner in the ministry. We came as a missionary team. We worked together. We were married for 18 years, and we did all the ministry together. And it was a wonderful thing. She was behind me all the time with my international work. I supported her with her ministries, and we just worked really beautiful together. The transition of now becoming to do ministry without Asha. Again, I had a beautiful church surrounding me. And the hardest thing in my life, Andy, is it's not even something in ministry. You know, we go through hard times in ministry. We have to work things out, and the tide comes in, the tide goes out, and you kind of go with the punches and go with the flow. But the hardest thing in my life by far was being a single parent. And I had worked with many single moms in our ministry. That's part of our ministry. We work with people who are, you know, in real need. And you know, we've met some beautiful single husbands too, but I mean single fathers, but mostly single women. And my heart has always gone out to them and just the struggles that they go through. And I found myself in that situation. I was then a single parent, and I had two teenage boys, young teenage, 13 and 15. And to, you know, I curtailed my ministry greatly on that. I used to do a lot of international work, and my wife was totally behind that. She saw the home fires as I went international, and just the raising of the kids, and you know, my life changed totally. So I curtailed my international trips quite a bit. My sons had just lost their mom. They were not going to lose their dad, certainly not to ministry, not to that. I mean, so many, and this is maybe a lesson to maybe ministers out there that maybe could put ministry first before family. I've always said family comes first and everything. And sure. my boys are going to have a father. And so, but I still had two churches that I was pastoring at the time. I had other ministries. And again, I had a lot of help from the church, wonderful help and from family. But my main ministry at that time was raising my boys. And so for these 3 or 4 years, until the oldest one moved away when he was, you know, a few years after that, and the younger one stayed, he stayed with me. They're both of them married now, but they were older and they began to doing more international work and doing more ministry. I mean, I was always doing ministry, but the intensity of it took that little break that was needed to be with my family. And I was there every night for my boys when they were at that age, crucial age, teenage years, they're going through things as well. They just lost their mom, and I made sure that I was there for them all the time.
Yeah, oh, bless you. And they're going on with God, which is wonderful, given that someone might conclude, where is God? He's taken my mom, kind of thing. And yeah, they're going on with God, which is wonderful, and testimony to your fathering of them.
Well, thank you. But both of my boys are serving the Lord now. One's a chaplain in his own right. As a matter of fact, he's the director of ministry and missions at the largest medical facilities in Abilene. He's got like 18 chaplains working under him. The other one is now going for his PhD in theology. They both have two beautiful Christian wives. And in that sense, Andy, if I died today, I'd be a very blessed man to see my children walking on with God, seeing them have godly families and godly spouses.
Now, just to outline, you ran Church Without Walls on the streets of London, so effectively worship services in the open air, as it were, mm-hmm. which particularly served the homeless and those with low income. Looking back over the 20 years, ministry amongst the homeless and low income seems to have increased. What do you see going well, and what do you perhaps see not being done so well within the UK church with respect to the homeless?
Well, I mean, I've always had, again, the burden for the homeless, like I said, from the very beginning of my ministry, God called me that, to feed the poor. And there is an increase. I mean, again, this is more getting into the more social realms of it. I mean, these are all government things that we can pray for the government for that, and I won't get into that so much because I deal more with the ministerial response to this. But we do see an increase of homelessness. But I mean, the poor you always have with you. And whether it's just one or two on the street that would take up all your time, or if there's 20 or 30 that take up all your time, there's still the poor is the poor and it's there. And there might be an increase. And as far as the church's responsibility, I mean, we do seminars. We've been doing this for over 20 years now, Hands of Mercy seminars. And they're basically for the church and for leaders, basically, to have the church be more proactive in ministries of mercy. And when I say that, I'm not talking about something really outside the church, even though that's good. I mean, people call the Church Without Walls like a homeless outreach. It isn't. It is a viable church that meets just without walls. We have, you know, prayer times, we have preaching, we have discipleship, we have days out. It is an ecclesia that meets on the church.
Sure.
We have service on Saturday mornings. But the church is like within walls. They sometimes, when they think of Mercy Ministries, they think of something outside, like a parachurch type of thing. Mercy Ministries begins in the church. There are so many hurting people within the walls. And, you know, I think we do my theology, like even on a deacon ministry, that's what the deacons were for. The deacons were to look after the poor and the elderly, the widows within the ecclesia of the local body. And sometimes we think it's something outside, it's inside. And this is something that I think that should be taught and preached. And an example from the leadership in churches today that, you know, there are people sitting next to you in your pew that are really suffering. Maybe they are the single mom. Maybe they are the widow. Maybe they are somebody who's hurting, somebody who's just, the family just suffered a stroke. Or maybe there's things going on that there's so much ministry within the church that needs to be done. And then, yes, there are, you know, ministries outside the church. There are wonderful organizations doing that on a large scale and small scale. And there are outreaches for certain things. But I would, just to say, in the short time we have together, Andy, I say the Mercy Ministries begins within the walls sure. of the church and within the local church, as we see in Acts chapter 6. The widows are coming into the church, were coming in and expecting to be fed, and the orphans. And that was like a real deacon ministry. The deacons were the first ministers of mercy in the
sure.
church.
Yeah.
Origen called them the eyes and ears of the pastor. The pastor right. could spend the time feeding the flock spiritually, but the practical meeting of the local mm. church was on the hands of the deacons to make sure that they were fed, make sure that they were cared for.
Yeah.
And mercy was being shown to those coming in, especially the most vulnerable.
And there's sometimes a false dichotomy between what's called social action and preaching the gospel. And people say, oh, well, you guys, you're just caring for the poor. You're not necessarily sharing the gospel. But you'd bring the two together, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't have one without the other in that sense. I mean, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. And we go out on the street and I tell I have the best team working with me. They just love the Lord. They're there. They're dedicated. But they've learned, as I've taught as an example, that this is not a free deli service. We're not there just giving out free food and sleeping bags. We're not a soup run. We are a church. We're the ecclesia. We're there to administer the gospel, to show the love of Christ. And to preach, you know, repentance, to preach, you know, just because you're on the street doesn't mean that everything's okay. God loves you anyway. He does love you. But no, we also preach the gospel that, you know, you have to repent of your sin. You have to get right with God. That, you know, sleeping on the street isn't necessarily sinful, but it's not natural. And God has a plan for your life. He did not create human beings to sleep on concrete. Foxes have holes, birds have ears, but no, it implies that, you know, human beings, there's a dignity in humanity that's missing in those on the street. And so, you know, so we preach, we teach these things. And also we arrive there in our services. We do it differently. We have the fellowship time at the beginning, and then we have, you know, the ministry of the word. We get there in, like, for the first half hour or so. We meet the guys. We have food. We have sandwiches. Why? For a gimmick for the gospel? No, because they're hungry, man. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. They're cold. You have a cup of tea. And it says, let's have a talk. And it's just part and parcel. You're freezing. Have a sleeping bag. Have a fleece. I mean, this is, you know, this is just be the kindness of the Lord and just doing it. And then some people may leave. That's fine. They just want the sandwich. They just want the tea. They just want, you know, the clothing, whatever. And that's fine. You feed the poor. Clothe the naked. And there's not a condition that you have to sit and listen to a message. But those that do stay, then I know that they're there because they want to hear the word. They're not there just because of the food. They've had the food. They're not there just because they've had the fleece or the sleeping bag, because they've had that. They're there because they see, they may not have the faith, but they know we have the faith.
Yeah.
And many of them want what we have, but they don't voice it that way. They want a change in their life. And we see some wonderful things, Andy. I mean, you know, again, we may get, you know, dozens of people coming around for the food and sandwiches and stuff. And then they may leave, but then there's a quality of people who just come who just want to hear the word. Sure. And then we have, you know, I guess the equivalent, what you call maybe an altar call or something, but we just have a time. I gather the guys in a tighter circle, and we just have a prayer time. And in the busiest metropolis is in Europe, and the busy hostel, there's a huge church next to us. It's a tourist attraction. It's a church too. It's a Catholic church. It's wonderful in that sense. But people are going there just for the building. We have a major train station down. There's a lot of flux. But you can hear a pin drop when it's time for prayer. These guys are coming here. Some of these guys are straight from the street. They're bowing their heads. And, you know, and they're there because, not because of food. They've had their food. They're there because they want a change in their life.
Yeah.
And you can hear a pin drop. And again, I'm after all these years, I've been doing this at Victoria right now, where we have the Church of the Walls, over 32, we're in the 32nd year now, every day. I mean, not every day, every week. I still get humbled every week, and just see the grace of God just touching lives that are just so broken and hurting and hungry and inquisitive, and just bow their heads and just receive prayer and receive Christ.
Wow. And Kurt, you gave up acting to come to the UK, but the Lord's kind of given you back some opportunities to act as well. Alongside, you've got your own IMDb page, people who know that, you know, list of credits that you've had in films. So perhaps just share a little bit about your acting life as well, alongside your Christian ministry.
I was an actor. I mean, that's like I said, that's what I did. And I vowed to the Lord, and this is, I'm glad you asked that, Andy, because I vowed to the Lord, I would never go on another audition, God, unless I know you're behind it. And a time came in my life. I mean, you know, tide goes in, tide goes out, and we're very stretched, you know, financially. And I'm saying, God, you know, what do you want me to do, you know, and whatever. And then, of course, I know the principle. I am a trained missionary of the Bible school. I know the tent-making principles. And I said, God, but I don't do anything except I act. That's the only thing I do. I mean, that's what I was. And so I just sought the Lord. I said, Lord, do you want me to go back and just do this on a tent making basis, just to get some more income? And I put that before people, and it was a big thing for me. And like I said, because I did vow to the Lord, and you, Lord, unless you're behind it. And so I just said, Lord, I lay it before you. It's something I can do, and I think, you know, I can do it well. I know the business. And I put it before different church, my friends in the church and the church leaders, and they just said, Kurt, this is a no brainer. You need the money, you can act. You know, I think God's behind this. And I said, okay, that's fine. So that's fine. And I had no problem with that. And I love it. And so, I mean, I'm not in the business, you know, 95% of show business is business. I'm not in the business. I love the craft, always love the craft. And that never left me when I You know, I left the business when I followed the Lord, and back in 1986, I didn't drop the love of the arts of acting or music. And I mean, I love it. And so, and again, knowing somewhat of the business, I was able to get an agent quite quickly. And so I've been able to just to do some gigs and I do that, but again, strictly as a tent making thing. And I love it though. But from that, though, I've been able to do seminars. I do seminars in Christ and culture, a theology of the arts. I'm a strong supporter. Interesting enough, the first person that is called by name, that's filled with the Spirit, this is in Exodus 31, called by name, Bezalel, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit for artistic endeavors.
Yes, indeed, and, yes.
and as an actor, I always got thrilled with that because I was in 3 years as an actor before I gave up acting. And I said, God, you've anointed artists with the Holy Spirit for artistic endeavors.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit for this as long. And then again, if God hadn't told me to drop in this, I would have stayed in show business as, you know, as a light in that industry. I mean, every business runs by the world system. And, you know, the acting business needs that as well as any other business.
Kurt, when you look back on what you've learned about leadership, what sort of advice do you give people starting off service, particularly as maybe a church planter or as a pastor in a local church? What are the things that for you are pretty essential?
Well, I mean, I look back at what Paul said to Timothy, and I think it's 2 Timothy about the ministry, you know, to love the ministry. First of all, to love people. I mean, if we have, you know, when God's, but God is in the people business, of course, so love the world that he gave his son. And, you know, we're not here just to do ministry or do religion. We're here for people. And you have to have a genuine love for people. And to love the ministry, to find it a privilege to be called a minister of the Lord. And it is a calling. I mean, I think we're all called to preach the word, or, well, you know, as far as that goes, you know, to be ready in season, out of season, all of us to do the work of the evangelist. Yes. But as a calling, as someone who's going into ministry, to someone who feels that vocation, that lifestyle of serving God, certainly the love of God, I mean, the love of people has to be there. The love of the word, to love obedience, to be pliable in God's hands. Again, I'm saying things, this, Andy, not to set any formulas, because, I mean, God may be talking to somebody totally different for different types of ministries. There's so many ways God can use you. So I'm not going to put down formulas of certain ways that you must do this. One acronym that I do use, though, to have a heart for the poor and a heart for ministry, I just use H-E-E-A-R-T, to make sure that you can hear the cry of the poor, hear the cry of the Lord, hear the Lord's voice, maybe not audibly, but in his word, and hear the cry of the poor. E is that everybody has a ministry. Everybody should be involved in this. The A is to make yourself available. You can't say yes to something without saying no to something else. If you're feeling called to a volition in ministry, it is going to cost you. Again, just an example, it cost me a career that I thought I had in show business, but it cost me something. It cost me leaving my family in the States and my security and home in the States to go on a mission for, again, just as an example, but make yourself available. R would be know how resourced you are, just with the gifts of the Spirit, but also just around us. I mean, there's just so much that God has resourced us with that's at our disposal. And T would be just make sure that you make time. And also T could be thankfulness, to be thankful in the ministry. So that H-E-A-R-T, it's just the heart of ministry. Is hearing God, everyone's involved, make yourself available. Know that you're so resourced by the Holy Spirit and by just what God would give into your ministry, and to be thankful.
Amen. And you're director of Elios Ministries. Mm-hmm. How could people get in touch with you, and what sort of things do you engage with?
Well, right now, I mean, you can go to our website, which is, you know, the W's and small caps, theeliosministries.com. You can email me directly. It's probably the best thing. Again, I am certainly a people person. It's just so funny, Andy, I'll just share this with you. I mean, by nature, I just love being by myself. I mean, I'm comfortable in my own skin, as it were. And, you know, but my two identifying professions in my life, if you want to call it that, you know, acting or ministry has forced me into the public eye.
Yes.
You know, you just can't, you need to be an actor and hate people. I think you're in the wrong business. But also, if you're a minister and you don't like people, so I don't mind people, you know, contacting me directly. I meet up with you. I'd love to, you know, I'd love to meet new people. And so by my email, I can give you my email, or you can put them, oh, you can't put them on the screen because we're on the radio. I can give you my email or my, which is just kurterickson919@gmail.com. Things with emails, though, sometimes emails change, but for right now, that is my email. And then go to my website. It's theeligiousministries.com.
Well, Kurt, it's a real joy to me to be able to talk to you again 20 years later after our very first conversation. So thank you for your faithfulness and for being my guinea pig, as it were, at the very start of this show. And the Lord be praised for all that he's done through you. And God has been with me as we've done this 20 years as well. So thank you.
I was just going to say that too. I mean, I thank God for your ministry, Andy, as well, because you've also, you know, I mean, you're still doing it. 20 years later, you're still here. And, you know, Ephesians says, you know, we've done everything to stand. So no matter what comes against us, and whatever it is, we're standing, and I think that's the testimony as well.
Bless you. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Andy, bless you too.
Bye-bye. That was my conversation with Kurt Erickson. Kurt, K-U-R-T, Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. And his email again is kerickson919@gmail.com. And you can find out more about his ministry at Elios Ministries. That's E-L-E-O-S. Ministries, particularly, of course, if you have a particular concern for mercy ministries within your church, or perhaps street ministries similar to that which Kurt described. So this is Andy Peck. Thank you for your company. Looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.